Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Friday, August the 9th. We got to the end of the week and our top story today is that a woman is calling for answers after some of her mum's jewellery went missing after she passed away at a Kent hospital. Iris Phillips died at Darent Valley in Dartford in April following a fall. At the time, she was wearing a bracelet, watch and six rings on two fingers, but only three rings were returned. Well, Anne Challis has been speaking to our reporter Keely Greenwood.
I was first aware when they contacted me, the doctor contacted me and said my mother had passed. On the following morning he said, did I want to go into the mortuary and see her? And I said no, and it was at that point he listed what jewellery she was still wearing. And we knew then that that wasn't correct. Having took the photo on the Friday evening before we left, we could see what she was actually wearing.
And what was the jewellery that was missing?
A watch, a bracelet, and three rings.
And you said the rings were particularly special to her?
Yeah, the heirlooms. They came from my grandmother, who was in India with her father, and the rubies came from the ruby mines in India.
And you said she never took them off?
No. Well, they'd been off to be made smaller because she'd lost so much weight with age. So that was the only time they were off her finger.
Because you could have taken them off of her before just to be careful, but you said you would never have taken them off of her because they meant so much.
Yeah, she was always very precious about her jewellery. Didn't want to leave them off at any time. Whenever she went in hospital, if she had x-rays or anything, they covered them because she'd rather not have them off. So we knew she didn't want them took off. Perhaps if she was well enough and I'd asked her, she might have said yes, take them, but you wouldn't take them off of a person who's dying.
So what would you like to happen now?
I just really want to warn anybody who's elderly relations or anybody who's very, very poorly to take their jewellery off of them and fetch them home, because I wouldn't want this to happen to anyone else.
Well, we've been in touch with the hospital and they've sent through a statement. It says, we have investigated this loss as an incident and determined that the correct documentation procedures were not properly followed, resulting in an inability to locate the missing items. The Trust said it has since reinforced the importance of accurately completing a patient's property list upon admission.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. And police in London have arrested a man on suspicion of encouraging murder after a Labour councillor allegedly called for far-right protesters' throats to be cut. Earlier, the party suspended Dartford representative Ricky Jones after footage was shared online. The comments were allegedly made during a counter-protest in London earlier this week. One of Kent's new Labour MPs has apologised for a series of now-deleted social media posts. Lauren Edwards tweeted about Estonians, a halal restaurant and parliamentary cleaners between 2009 and 2011. The Rochester and Strood rep says the comments represented a significant error of judgment. A Faversham man who abused a woman and controlled what she could do has been locked up for 14 years. Alan Law monitored his victim's socials, made it hard for her to see friends and even trapped her in a cupboard at his home. The 35-year-old from Nicholas Road admitted breaching a restraining order and was found guilty of coercive and controlling behaviour. Now this is one of our most read stories on the website today. A Kent nurse who slept during shifts and sometimes failed to respond to patient alarms has avoided being struck off. Lucy's been taking a look at details from a misconduct panel. So, Lucy, who's involved in this case?
Well, it's a nurse called Member Eorham who worked at the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford and Margate's QEQM. She was apparently caught napping multiple times by colleagues and even bedded down for the night in a ward while it was shut. Evidence heard by the panel shows the nurse also failed to react to alarms for patients' blood pressure or oxygen levels. In one case, she reportedly turned it off instead of getting a doctor or adjusting levels of medication.
So when did these incidents happen?
Concerns were first raised in October 2021, shortly after she got a job in the William Harvey's intensive care unit. She'd previously worked at the Kent and Canterbury Hospital, where bosses found issues with her competence and clinical practice. The nurse was also found asleep at a computer table three times while working at the QEQM in January 2022. She left the trust in March of that year and now works at a care home in Edinburgh.
And what was the conclusion from the misconduct hearing, Lucy?
So the Nursing and Midwifery Council has ruled she can continue working in the profession. A report states to impose a suspension order or a striking off order would be wholly disproportionate. Instead, they've issued a practice order which will be in place for 18 months with conditions that include being supervised by a registered nurse and not being able to dispense medication on her own. East Kent Hospitals Trust say they provide training and guidance to all new staff and extra support is put in place where issues are identified.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online reports.
A former Kent police officer who pretended to be a girl during online chats with young boys has avoided being sent to prison. Harry Bentoft was a serving constable at the time of his offending and was arrested 3 years ago. The 26-year-old from Bull Lane in Eccles was given a suspended sentence and ordered to do 120 hours of unpaid work. A convicted child sex offender from Dover has been warned they could be sent to prison after breaching a court order. Quisena Lamar, who identifies as a woman, was jailed for a year in 2017 and had to sign in at a police station once a year. The 69-year-old from Park Street has been in court after failing to check in with officers in March. She's been bailed until October. Seven people have been arrested as part of an investigation into motorbike thefts in Medway. Police raided a business in Chatham and seized three vehicles. The suspects have been bailed until October. An amusement park owner on Sheppey has hit back at claims his neighbours have had to put up with offensive music. The Jimmy G site in Laysdown was given permission to have rides behind the premises for 2 years in 2021. An application to extend it has been approved by council bosses despite complaints from neighbours about loud drill music, which the owner denies playing. Now, this weekend is the final time to have a say on plans to install an electricity cable linking Kent to Suffolk. It's called the Sea Link Project and will make landfall at Pegwell Bay, a wildlife area in Ramsgate. Conservationists are very concerned about the impact it will have, and Lucy's been chatting to Emma Waller from the Kent Wildlife Trust.
Pegwell Bay has numerous marine designations and numerous habitats. So behind me you can see the salt marsh, which is a really important habitat for invertebrates and birds, but also a natural carbon capture. You also have the mudflats beyond that, which provides all the food and foraging for the millions of birds that visit Pegwell Bay every year. And what's really important is that Pegwell Bay is also home to Kent's largest seal colony.
And how important is it for people to have their say on this, to let National Grid know how they feel?
So the National Grid have opened a consultation which closes on the 11th of August. So this consultation is because they've made changes to their order limits, which is the work areas, really. So there have been some positive changes, such as they can they've committed to avoiding Goodwin Sands Marine Conservation Zone, and they've also committed to trenchless techniques across the salt marsh. But we are still really concerned that they are still planning to use open cut trenching methods of the mudflats, which are really important for the millions of birds that use Pegwell Bay. And also, obviously, the converter stations at Minster Marshes will lose really important functional linked habitat for birds that use the salt marsh that then come into land for night roosts and for feeding.
Kent Online reports.
A Tunbridge Wells woman's been told to pay more than £4,000 after running a cattery without a licence. The council was made aware Catnap Cattery was still boarding animals for a fee, even though its licence had been revoked in 2022. Owner Olga Johnson pleaded guilty and has been fined and told to pay costs. A speed camera won't be put back on part of the A229 in Maidstone, despite a petition from residents. It was first installed on Lewes Road in the 90s following a number of crashes, but was removed in 2022 after 5 years of not working. The signatures were handed in to the council in February, but transport bosses have now decided not to reinstall the device. A new Monopoly board is going to be created for Whitstable and Herne Bay. The towns beat other areas, including Dover, Rochester and Sandwich, to get their own version of the game. They're asking people to make suggestions for what should be included, and Lucy's been chatting to Ellie Camilla Gibbs from Winning Moves UK.
We were looking at locations in Kent to choose to get their next edition, and we have been to Kent before. We actually had a Kent Monopoly back in 2002, which was ages ago now. And we thought, what better place to choose than Whitstable-on-Herne Bay? I think there's lots of local pride, there's loads of lovely landmarks. So really excited to create a Monopoly edition for that area, which will feature all of those places that people know and love. So we're really excited.
What's the process like for choosing what town or city you're going to do next? Because I understand there were a few places in Kent that were being considered.
There were, yeah, we were looking at Dover and Rochester as well. We really need to take into consideration a few things. So we look at what landmarks there are in the area, if there's lots of family values there. And generally, we need to think about what's going to look good on a Monopoly board as well. So for us, it was a no-brainer to choose Whitstable-on-Herne Bay in the end. I don't know if you've been there before, but you've got things like the harbour market, you've got the beach itself, the beach huts, the castle. There's just so many things that will look great on a board. And that's why we ended up choosing Whitstable-on-Herne Bay in the end.
And is it usual to combine two towns like that?
It's not usual, but we thought they're kind of seaside towns that are next to each other. They're both very close, and it kind of made sense in our eyes. I think not having the Herne Bay Pier on, for example, and not having the Harbour Market on, I think it'd be great just to combine the both. So no, it's not something we typically do, but I think it made sense in this case to have those two sister seaside towns on.
And how exciting is it learning about these two beautiful towns and thinking about what you could put on the board? I know there are a lot of local links with things like the oysters in Whitstable, for example.
Oh, yeah, there's so much history. So I think we definitely have to feature the oysters. You're right. We've got to make a link to that. But it's interesting. I've had family that live in Whitstable, so I've kind of grown up there. So I know a bit about it already. Not so much Herne Bay, but that's why we love to get the public involved, sending in suggestions, because I'm not there. I'm not from there myself. So it's great to see what all the local public want to see on the board. And that's how we make our decisions at the end of the day. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes in. But yeah, very excited.
And how much do people enjoy seeing those places that they know and love on a Monopoly board?
I think people find it really cool. It's great to see where you grow up have its own Monopoly board, and then it's cemented on that board game for the rest of the time. So to see your hometown there, I think people are very proud. There's lots of local pride in Whitstable-on-Herne Bay as well, which is nice. And yeah, I think people are going to love it, hopefully, fingers crossed.
And I know Whitstable has a lot of tourism as well. I mean, I suppose visitors going to Whitstable might purchase the game as a sort of memento.
Yeah, when the game's out, I mean, that's the goal, isn't it? I think tourists are going to love it, be reminded of their day out in Whitstable, and hopefully the locals will love it more as well, as it shows where they've grown up, the area that they know and love and that they live in. So it's for both alike. But yeah, when that comes out early next year, hopefully everyone loves it.
And just talk me through the process you're going through at the moment of taking suggestions from the public and how that all works.
So we will be opening a suggestions inbox this Friday. That's ken@winningmoves.co.uk. That's where everyone can send in their suggestions of what they want to see on the board, be it the harbour market, a local business, a hotel. Anything they want to send in will go there, and then we can review it. And that's how we'll make our decisions about who to approach and who to feature on the board.
And I know it was mentioned in the press release, perhaps some quirky little ideas like sending people to Essex instead of to jail. Is that something that's cemented in, or is that just an example at the moment?
Yeah, well, we always like to change the community chest and chance cards around. So that's always where people have a bit of fun and they send in those quirky suggestions. So typically when we work with a lot of cities, we'll have you hit a pothole, move back three spaces, anything like that that people want to mention, they're more than welcome to send in, and we can hopefully have some fun with the community chest and chance cards.
Kent Online News.
There have been complaints about noisy bikes speeding through a village outside Canterbury. People living in Wingham say it's making their lives a misery. Well, police have told us they are aware of particular problems on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, so we'll be out on patrol. There's going to be a drop-in session to help more than 140 staff who lost their job when a Kent Sports Centre suddenly closed. The facility on Radnor Park Avenue in Folkestone shut last week, with the charity running it having to call in administrators. Well, the council event at the Civic Centre will have advice on training opportunities, jobs and interview skills. And more than £6,500 has been raised by our sister radio station KMFM to replenish food banks across Kent this summer. They've also had hundreds of incredibly kind donations for the Tons of Tins campaign. Deliveries will be made next week to tackle food poverty across Kent. And now with a round up of everything going on in the county this weekend, here's Sam Laurie.
Summer is in full swing here in Kent, and this week we're kicking things off with one of the county's biggest music events. Broadstairs Folk Week returns to the seaside town today, bringing more than 300 musicians who will perform at concerts, free pub gigs and workshops for the next 8 days. There will be some headline shows that you'll need tickets for, but you can catch plenty of music on the outdoor stages and in lots of local pubs and bars without having to book or pay. Alongside the music, there will be guitar, drum and ukulele workshops, sing-around sessions, barn and country dances, a craft market, food stalls and the Shepherd Neame Festival Bar at Victoria Gardens. If you're looking for some great theatre this weekend, you can still catch Hairspray at the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury until Saturday night.
Like, you have to look at the next game. You can't look too far ahead. If you look too far ahead, I think you get
news you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.